After a lifetime of researching the dynamic and enigmatic world of light entertainment, I've decided to ditch my notebook and meet the people who inspire me. What makes them the people they are? How do they feel about the show business landscape in which they find themselves? And in a world where anyone can be a star, is there still a need for performers who have universal appeal? Come with me on a journey of discovery as I get a unique insight into Britain's favourite stars with a little help from my glamorous assistants. Yeah, well, I say glamorous, more like hazardous. And of course, we'll have a bit of fun along the way.
Throughout the 80s, the British television nation were hooked on a situation comedy set some 40 years earlier. Hello, Hello, written by sitcom legends David Croft and Jeremy Lloyd, was first broadcasted on the 30th of December 1982 and made overnight stars of cast members Gordon Kaye, Carmen Silvera and Vicky Michelle. Mimi LeBlanc, played by actress Sue Hodge, became a firm favourite through her unashamed pursuit of Kaye's Renee. I caught up with Sue Hodge ahead of her one-woman show at London's Museum of Comedy to talk leading men, sitcom and life after Hello, Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, Sue Hodge.
Okay, so, Sue, Mimi LeBlanc made her first appearance in the fourth series of the show, Hello, Hello. How did it feel joining an already successful sitcom?
Well, actually, that was really quite nerve-wracking because you are actually joining a ready-made family. So, but it was a wonderful new experience. I mean, in my one-woman show, I actually talk about the first time I went to record my first ever ep with them. And they were such a great family. And they were already confident and well-established. But I do remember David Croft, the writer, saying to me, you know, don't worry, love, on the first time if the audience sort of don't warm to you as much as the others. You know, they're well-established. But I walked through that door of my first entrance, I suppose, looking somewhat like Frank Spencer in that long trench coat and beret. And the audience just went woof, and I was at home very, very quickly.
Written by sitcom legends David Croft and Jeremy Lloyd, Hello, Hello was the second offering from this very successful partnership. In your opinion, how did this benefit the show's success?
Well, I do think, I mean, we all considered ourselves to be so lucky because we think we had two of, like, the finest, best writers. So when I first went to David Croft's house, they had, you know, great expectations for this to go worldwide, which it did. It's actually seen in 95 countries. So, and of course, it was actually a little bit of a spoof from a series that Jan Francis did. Do you remember that? And so it was, as I say, actually a spoof of something else. And I remember Jan Francis saying, because she played the Michelle of the Resistance type character, and I remember her saying, you know, I wasn't sure if I liked this, first of all, a bit of a sort of send-up or whatever. But, of course, what she realised, I mean, it was terribly tongue-in-cheek, wasn't it? I know some people say, oh, you wouldn't be allowed to do that today. But, I mean, a lot of double entendre, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we all feel really privileged that we were in the wonderful hands of Croft and Lloyd, who will never, ever be forgotten. For all the wonderful things that they wrote.
As he did so triumphantly for Dad's Army, David Croft chose to set the sitcom in a specific time in history. How significant is this in the enduring nature of the sitcom?
Well, I think the fact of the matter is that it's probably why it doesn't really date. Because, I mean, history is never going to go away. And we were fortunate enough to be filming on location at a wonderful place in Linford Hall that David used a lot, this hall, and it was all, they always turned it into, you know, the set for the appropriate period, etc., etc. And I know that the success of Dad's Army had already been, you know, formulated at this Linford Hall. So...
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, fantastic to say, like, history doesn't...
It just doesn't. So I think that's why, and even if you see the repeats now, probably why it doesn't date, because you, as you say, you know, the fact that it's the history is still taught in the schools, etc., etc. Yeah. So maybe that's why. Perhaps when you see some of the, you know, repeats of some of the older things, maybe a Dick Emrys or whatever, to me sometimes, or I loved it, Ain't Off Hot and things like that. But and the lovely one with Michelle Dutrice and Michael Crawford, some mothers to him. Yeah. But they sometimes seem to be a little dated, and I think the fact that this, you know, as I say, is part of our history, but that's maybe part of its success. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Like so many sitcoms from this era, the contentious issue of sex is a constant theme throughout. Why do you think sexual lust and frustration are at the heart of so many sitcoms?
Well, with ours, I mean, let's face it, it's sort of, you know, as we always called it, like the randy Frenchman, you know, the kinky Germans, etc., etc. Well, as I said, you know, earlier, it was a tongue-in-cheek, and really a lot of it was left to the public, for them, if that's the way they took it. We never thought we said anything wrong, you know.
Why did Allo Allo come to an end in 92?
Well, I think, like everything, it has a shelf life. I mean, in actual fact, it was considered that it was going to finish the series before. But John B. Hobbs, who came to direct the last series, he'd done Brushstrokes and various, you know, other sitcoms, had such a ball with us, and he said it was one of the happiest times he'd spent. He said, I want to put in for another season. Is everybody going to stay with me? So that's what actually happened. But really and truthfully, I just think the timing was right. It was time to stop. As much as you think, oh, this will be really weird not having this anymore, because it became, you know, it becomes part of your life. But I just think things do have a shelf life. And sometimes people say to me, do you wish it had been, you know, remade, or it could, people say, when are they going to do another of it? This is not broken. Leave it alone. Why try to mend it? Just, it was perfect as it was. Leave it and let's be remembered like that.
But that wasn't strictly the end for the Resistance, because in 2007, surviving cast members reunited for a reflective episode celebrating the series. What was it like to do it again all those years later?
Do you know, it was extremely weird, because we went to the studio, you know, yet again, where the set was, and as we stepped onto the set of the cafe floor, it actually felt like you'd never left. It was strange. Janie Chapman was filming one of her programs, and she next door, and she came into the studio and she went, she said, I feel like you've never left. And it did really, really feel like that. I mean, obviously, you know, we were a little bit older, but once we'd all frocked up and in costume, it was just like stepping back in time.
In January of this year, sadly, Britain lost a sitcom great. What's your memories of the late Gordon Kaye?
Well, I was a very, very close personal friend of Gordon's, and shared a lot of sort of intimate times, personal times with Gordon. And so I did gradually see him on this decline. I mean, you probably remember he had this very bad accident back in 1989, and it had to take its toll somewhere along the line. And I think, in a way, he was exceedingly lucky to have gone on as he did. But the last 5 years, I did see a steady decline. And he always said to me, he actually didn't think he would make 70. He did actually make 75. But he always said to me it wouldn't be long. And I can remember a few of our last phone calls thinking, oh, I can feel you're going. He was getting a few things muddled then by that time. I was going out to do Annie with Sue Pollard in New Zealand. And for some reason, because Sue Pollard had done Peter Pan and Gordon and I had done Peter Pan together, he thought I was going to do Peter Pan. And he was saying, oh, you could give Sue some of the business, you know, that we did. He got a little bit confused. It got muddled for him toward the end. And I, as devastating as it was, I think it was time for him to let go and be released.
So we're here at the Museum of Comedy, where you're just about to take the stage for your one-woman show, Hello, Hello, Again. What can we expect? And we understand that you're touring the show next year.
I am. What you can expect as well today is the launch of the book, Mimi's Memoirs, Hello, Hello, which is another reason for being here at the Museum of Comedy. But what you can expect, if nothing else, is fun, frivolity, music, a couple of songs that I've written for it, including Mimi, the Toast of Paris, and an Hello, Hello can-can that mentions every cast member at the end. So it's a lovely, fun, it's grandma's parlour, as I call it. Come into the parlour, sit down and enjoy a good chat and reminisce and go back to a wonderful, wonderful series called Hello, Hello.
So looking back at your career, what's your proudest achievement?
Proudest achievement? Gosh. I think probably always to get to the curtain call. Whatever I do, I'm always so highly relieved, you know. So, as I will be today, I know I'm amongst friends and lovely people, but you always think, as the curtain comes down, phew, made it, you know. So, always proud of everything I do.
And just finally, so we can let you go, what's next for Sue Hodge?
Well, I'm off doing a cruise with children's entertainers like Melvin Hayes and Baroness Fleur Benjamin, some people from Blue Peter, etc. Then I've been asked to be part of the Bulgarian Cultural Festival this year, which is extraordinary. So I shall be going out to Sofia, where they have actually run the series for 22 years. I know. And that's what I'm going to be doing before I return to go into pantomime. And I'm going to be doing Robin Hood. And I actually get a chance to play Dame. So in the guise of the nurse. So Mimi the nurse. So I've always thought of it as Robin Hood, Mimi and her merry men. And who could be merrier than Mimi?
That's brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Sue.
Thank you. Pleasure. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much to our guest for being the subject of another Beyond the Title interview. If you like this, why not browse the website and see if there's anything else that takes your fancy? Don't forget to like our Facebook page to receive updates on forthcoming interviews and to see more information about me and what I do. Thanks again, and hopefully see you next time for another Beyond the Title interview.